Good evening. Good to be in God's house. I trust you had a good afternoon of rest. We'll be in Mark chapter number 2. Mark chapter number 2 this evening. Continuing our studies through the book of Mark. Mark chapter number 2. We had a good time in the house of the Lord this morning. Had a good amount of visitors too as well. So that was a blessing. Good to see all of you back here this evening. Mark chapter number 2. Now, there's a verse in this chapter that I would have you to try to put to memory if you possibly can. It's verse 17 of chapter 2. I won't get all the way down there, but I'll go ahead and read that verse. Chapter 2, verse 17. And when Jesus heard it, he saith unto them, they that are whole have no need of the physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. It's another good verse there to put to memory. And remember, I told you Mark chapter 10, verse 45 was kind of the theme verse in the book of Mark. It says, for even the Son of Man came not to minister, to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. Verses like this and other ones that we have told you are verses to be very familiar with, or if your mind allows, to put them to memory so that you have them hid in your heart so that you might not sin against God. Those are good verses, and then that one in verse 17 is a very, very good verse there. It kind of keeps us focused on what we're to be doing for the Lord. Now, as we read here, we're going to read down to verse 12. I hope I get down to verse 12 in chapter 2. I'm not sure I will, but we'll let the Lord lead there. Verse 1 of chapter 2, the Bible says, and again, he entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noised that he was in the house. And straightway many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive him, no, not so much as about the door, and he preached the word unto them. And they came unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of four. And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. And when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of palsy lay. Verse 5. When Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of palsy, son, thy sins be forgiven thee. But there were certain of the scribes sitting there, reasoning in their hearts, why doth this man thus speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God only? And immediately, when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they so reasoned within themselves, he said unto them, why reason ye these things in your hearts? Verse 9. Whether it be easier to say to the sick of palsy, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, arise and take up thy bed and walk. But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, he saith to the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, arise and take up thy bed, and go thy way into thine house. And immediately he arose, took up the bed, went forth before them all, insomuch that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, we never saw it on this fashion. Now the crowds came to see the sick healed. They came to see the demons cast out. But to be honest with you, most of them were not very interested in the truth that he was preaching. It's just that simple. It was just plain as day as you read through the book of Mark when he would begin to preach, begin to teach the Word of God. There was always that group. There's always that crowd. There was always somebody in the midst of trying to bring strife and division and trouble. In verses 1 and 2, you find here that he preached the Word of God. In verse 1, the Bible says it was noised abroad. It was noise that he was in the house. I don't know if they, went down with a megaphone,
Hey, Jesus is in the house. Come on, Jesus is,
I don't know how it was noised.
Jesus is in the house.
I don't know. But it was for certain that it got the attention of the whole city, because the Bible says here, there in verse 2, and straightway many were gathered together, and so much that there was no room to receive them, no, not so much as about the door, and he preached the word unto them. Now, I don't know about you ladies, remember, he's back in his mother-in-law's house. He's back over there, he's back in the house again. There, and I don't know, when you have company over, when you have people over, you want a little bit of room so you can move about, just a little bit so you can get here or there. They couldn't even move. I mean, they couldn't even get to the ice box to get some iced tea out to get refreshments. It was crowded. In so much that there was a great press. But that didn't hinder him. He just started preaching. And listen, the Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort, with all longsuffering and doctrine. Mark 16, verse 15, the Bible says, he said unto them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. This is what he's doing. This whole passage is about Jesus Christ proving his deity to those naysayers, proving that he was the Son of God, that he was God itself there. Now, it's amazing here that no city heard or saw more miracles than Capernaum. He was chased out of Nazareth. You remember we read about that? They took him. They wanted to kill him. He left out among them. He moved down into Nazareth. Now he's headquartered down into Nazareth. I mean, in Capernaum down there. And he's doing miracles. He's preaching. But here is the condemnation that was received of Capernaum. If you would, go to Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter number 11. They saw more. They heard more. He did more in Capernaum. You think it would get their attention. Matthew chapter 11, verse number 23. Matthew 11, verse number 23, the Bible says, and thou, Capernaum, he's speaking to the community, he's speaking to the people that's living there in Capernaum, thou, Capernaum, which are exalted unto heaven, shall be brought down to hell, for if the mighty works which have been done in thee had been done, and look where it says, in Sodom. In Sodom. We know the story of Sodom. Sodom is where God came down because the cry, the sins of man was so wicked. He came down, he spent some time with Abraham, he sent some angels on into the city to make sure that everything he had heard and was brought up was true and to be so. And he had to drag Lot out. Lot's wife turned back, had a desire for carnality. She turned into a pillar of salt. Brimstone and fire came down, destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. And Jesus Christ is now saying to Capernaum, listen, people of Capernaum. He's not speaking to a city wall. He's speaking to the people in Capernaum. If the mighty works which had been done here in Capernaum had been done in Sodom, he says this about Sodom. It would have remained until this day. But I say unto you that it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than for thee. Now I'm telling you, dear friend, hell is hot and hell is real. But I believe with all my heart there is a degree of punishment with hell for certain in this place of hell. I'm just reading what the Bible says. It'll be more tolerable. Those was not saved people because Jesus, God's word back and forth, Abraham back and forth. If there be 45, they'd be 35, they'd be 30. All the way down, if there be 10 righteous, there would be 10 righteous when you spared. God said, yeah, I'll spare Sodom. Went down to there, there was not 10 righteous. Now Jesus, God Himself, manifest in flesh, says, it will be more tolerable for the people of Sodom than the people in Capernaum. It's kind of an old principle here that we need to grab a hold to. To much that has been given, much is going to be required. Much that is forgiven seems to bring about a spirit of one that is more grateful, you might say. We need to be careful to understand something, dear friend. God Himself has done a great thing for us as His children. He's worked, I mean, He's preserved for us His Word, inerrant, infallible, so that we can use it to learn, to grow thereby. And dear friend, when we take it and it becomes a trophy upon our desk, upon our nightstands, sometimes the only time it gets moved in and out of our car is when we come to the house of God. We want to bring it in so we look spiritual. Dear friend, we've got a lot to give an account for. You've been born again, bought by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, dear friend, and you've been saved for some time, and God has spared you and allowed you to live in this here life and live, for some of us have been saved, 20, 30, 40, 50 years. What have you done with that 30, 40, 50 years of salvation? He said, if the mighty works that had been done in Capernaum, that were done in Capernaum, had been done in Sodom, they would still remain. I'm just amazed at Christians who have been bought by the blood of the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, and they trample and trod upon that blood under feet. It's like it's almost like we don't want to be saved from sin. We want to be saved from the punishment of sin. But He said, I come to seek and save and reach sinners and bring them to repentance. Is that not what we read there in Mark? Let's go back and look at the memory verse, Mark chapter 2. Mark chapter 2, verse number 17. When Jesus heard it, He said unto them, they that are whole have no need of physician, but they that are sick. I come not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. And He said unto the people of Capernaum, if I would have just went down into Sodom, because I'm going to be honest with you, there probably had to be some people in palsy in Sodom tomorrow. It was a pretty large community. They had a community gate, a council, people that sit and did business for the city and watched over and cared for the, they had maybe what we call a mayor and commissioners. It wasn't like some stick community out there with six people living in it. We know it wasn't because Jesus said, if there be ten. So we know that there's got to be at least ten. But there's more than that. This is a pretty large city. It was a city where people came and trade. You remember Lot first in his tent, and he just watched everything. He was amazed, mesmerized about everything that was going on. All the people coming in and out. And he seemed to hear all the entertainment, and he marveled at it, and so much that he moved down into the city. So it's a pretty large place. So I'm sure there were some people
sick of something. Maybe there wasn't no people with palsy. But perhaps they had just a common fever. Can I get an amen? Last week, wasn't it just a fever? Surely, but that many people, somebody running around there with some sniffle, green snot running out their nose. Or just something. And Jesus is saying, if I would have went down into Sodom and did these works, raised up somebody from the dead. I'm sure they had a cemetery somewhere out there that somebody had just passed away. Somebody had just died. And he could have went out there and said, hey, Bartholomew. Oh, I'm sorry. That's a Jewish name. Hey, Thaddeus. Come on out by that grave. Let me prove myself to be Lord. He could have raised somebody from the dead. This is what he's saying. I'm here to tell you, dear friend, if God had worked some great miracles in some people's lives like he has in your and I's life, they might turn to him and get saved. Hey, if they see what God has done for us in our own life, if our neighbors, if our community, if our co-workers, if they see the miracle, I'm going to tell you, dear friend, when an old sinner comes to the Lord for salvation and that sinner is made righteous because of Christ, it should make a difference.
Amen.
In our lives. If they could just see what God has done. Has God done something in your life? What's amazing about this story is that this man, sick of the palsy, he's on a bed. He had people that was concerned about him. These were four people that was well-bodied, well-able, could carry, could fight through the press, got to a point where they couldn't move anymore. And one of them, I don't know which four it was, maybe it was the fourth one on the south side of the gurney. He said, hey, let's get up on the roof. They got up on the roof, began to tear off the tiles and move the shingles and move the things out of the way. And these were well-strapped, physical, able, capable men, and they lowered him down. Have you ever tried to carry somebody that's just dead weight?
Oh, yeah.
It's difficult. I mean, this man, it wasn't easy, but they were concerned about this man's soul. And the Bible says this in verse 5. When Jesus saw their faith. Is that not what it says? He decided when Jesus saw the sick of the man pause his faith. When he saw the four that bore him. When he saw their faith. I'm just wondering, dear friend. If this is the condemnation that God Himself, Jesus Christ, gave to Capernaum. If these mighty works had been done in Sodom and Gomorrah. Sometimes we as Christians, we read the story of Sodom and Gomorrah and we thumb our nose up at such a place and said, oh, never could I be involved in such a place as that. Do you forget that Lot was the nephew of Abraham? The man, what God called him, a friend? This was the kinfolk to Abraham. You have to understand the whole story. That one time he got carried off by five kings. Abraham went and rescued and brought him back and pulled him back, got him back, and he went straight back. That's the story of a dog returning to his vomit. Or a sow going straight back to the mud. That is all Bible, by the way. Y'all didn't know the Bible talked about dogs going back to vomit. I didn't make that up. It also says the wringing of the nose brings forth blood. That's in there. It also said a man of God pulled people bald-headed in the Old Testament. It's in there. I'm glad I'm under grace. I can imagine Pastor Shells one day coming down off the pulpit and grabbing by the hair of the head. You old rotten sinner. Why was you out running around womanizing and give me some hair? Well, maybe that's what happened. Y'all weren't there, so I can just make a long story. He was impressed by their faith. I'm alive. These suspenders are going crazy. He was impressed by their faith in verse number 5, and so much that he looked to the sick of palsy and says, "Thy sins be forgiven." Wait a minute. They brought the man because he had palsy. They brought the man because he couldn't get up and walk around. They brought the man because he was on a bed, stretched around on a gurney, and they wanted him healed. They had heard. Remember verse number 1. It was noised that he was in the house. They had heard. Jesus is in town. He's in the house. Jesus said, look at their faith. Your sins be forgiven. The man's real problem wasn't palsy. The real problem, he needed a Savior. Sometimes we look at people's lives. We see the physical ailments. And we want to help in the physical, but we deny the spiritual. When the spiritual is what needs to be handled first. Because let me tell you this. He could have healed him of the palsy. And he could have busted hell wide open. He needed to be saved. He needed a Savior. And Jesus was more concerned about the soul than he was. Then there's those crazy scribes. Isn't it amazing? Brother, isn't it amazing these religious fanatics who's got their life all together? I mean, it's like they walk around like strutting peacocks. Like their sin it's really not really sin. You know, it's a little bit, you know, okay, because I'm prideful and all this, and that's really not sin. You know, pride is sin. It's like a haughty spirit, and it comes, and then a great fall. They stand up and, well, I pray and I give tithes of mint and coming and boy, they're so. How in the world do they always find themselves at the feet of Jesus and never can find Jesus? Amen. Have you studied it? Amen. Read the Gospels. Pharisees, Sadducees, scribe, always at the feet of Jesus but can never find Jesus. Amen. It's amazing. It's like you can't see the forest because of the trees. It's just, I don't understand. It's like Judas walking around with the Savior, and he's healing lepers, he's saving people, he's putting families back together. There's a woman going to be stoned, and he brings her to saving knowledge. There's a publican, a little Zacchaeus up in the tree. He brings him down. Matter of fact, there's a publican willing. Next week we'll learn about him. You know, he gets saved. You know, he's all got all these people getting touched by the Lord Jesus Christ. He's with him, and he can't find Jesus. So much he kissed Jesus on the cheek. Kissed the door of heaven. Couldn't find Jesus. I'm amazed that kids are brought up in church and around godly things and around the things in God's house, around Bible, and parents who try their dead level best to love God, to serve God, to point them on the right direction, and it seems they can't find Jesus. I'm amazed at it. I think because we get so inoculated. That's a big word there. I can education reading the books. I haven't figured out how it fits into what I'm trying to tell you, but they get inoculated. They get immune. They're around like old Lot. And they're parasites. They never, ever have had a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. They don't know Jesus on a personal, one-on-one relationship. They don't know the power of God. Capernaum, if these miracles had been done in Sodom, Sodom would remain. That's why you see people. I'll just be honest with you. Listen, I don't care if you never drank a beer, smoked a pot, smoked cigarettes, chewed tobacco, beat up somebody, stole something. I don't care about all that. You're a sinner and you need to be saved by grace.
Amen.
If you've been in church from nursery, listen, some of you have been in church since before you was even born. Your mom will run around here 9 months with you in the belly. You're hearing hymns sing. And you come out and you know you've been dedicated. You're brought about into the church, raised up around the things of the church, and you just stuff your nose up at God. Somebody gets saved, been out there in the world, been trotting around in the old pits and mire of the sins of this world, and they get saved. Boy, they just soak it up and soak it in. And they say, Lord, thank you for all that you've done for me.
Amen.
These old religious folks, reasoning with them in their heart, the Bible says. Listen to verse 6. But there were certain of the scribes, and reasoned in their heart. They didn't even say nothing. This is amazing to me. I don't know. I'm not the sharpest tack in the box, dear friend. But if I'm sitting in this crowd and I'm thinking, who's this? Sins are forgiven. I'm just thinking in my heart. And then Jesus says, why reason ye in your heart? I'm checking out. Brother Jimmy, I'm done. I'm God. How in the world do He know what I'm thinking in my mind? I'm just thinking. You know, in other words, there in verse number 8. Why reason ye these things in your heart? It's like Jesus said, why don't you speak up? Why don't you just speak up? Say what's on your mind. In these verse 9, whether it be easy to say to the sick of the palsy of the sins, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, arise and take up thy bed and walk. Verse 10, but that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, is hopeless. So you will know that I'm forgiven sins. So that you may understand, he said to the sick of palsy, I say unto thee, arise, take up thy bed and go thy way into thy house. And immediately he arose, took up the bed, went forth before them all. Before them all, insomuch that they were all amazed, even these scribes. They were all amazed. And even these scribes, and glorified God, say, we never saw it on this fashion. Well, slap your mama and shut your mouth. That's what they said. Y'all didn't read that? You got to get between the lines. Well, shut my mouth. Well, I ain't never seen that like this before. Why in the world are not our family and friends not seeing on this fashion what Jesus has done for us? Amen. There ought to be a difference in us, dear friend.
Amen.
There ought to be a difference. And I'm going to be honest with you. You know, the guys I grew up with and I grew up in my life and the things we did together, they see me now. They're like, my soul. They're amazing. A change. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature.
Amen.
They'd be amazed. Something about you ought to tell people that this is all about God. I couldn't have worked this on my own. I'll be honest with you. They ought to be able to say, there's a God in heaven. Some of you know what I'm talking about, Brother Johnson. People know where you were, where we at, where we come from. There is a God in heaven.
Amen.
Some of us walking around here have been raised up in church. We try to get to become so worldly and so carnal. We try to be just like the world. We try to be just like them. We try to fit in with them. Ain't no wonder. There ain't no wonder in all. Is Sam Hill a real place, a real person? No wonder in Sam Hill why people ain't coming to the Lord, because Christians are living just like the world. I'm just amazed at passages like this when Jesus says about Capernaum. So that you may know. That's what he said, that you may know he was more interested in forgiving sins.
But he went about and did this miracle so that they would know that he was God. Proves his own identity. I've got to show y'all these verses. Y'all don't need to go nowhere.
Amen.
It's just 10 more minutes. I'm going to show you these verses. Let's look at these verses. Look in Exodus chapter 34 real quick. Show you a few verses. Exodus 34. Verse 6. Exodus 34 and verse 6, the Bible says there, "And the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in the goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands." What does he say? "Forgiving iniquity and transgressions and sin, and that will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children's children, until the third and the fourth generations." Look over in Isaiah, Isaiah 43. Isaiah chapter 43 and verse number 25. Isaiah 43 and verse 25. "I, even I, am he that blotteth out thy transgressions for mine own sake, and will not remember thy sins." Micah. Micah chapter 7. Micah chapter number 7, verse 18. Micah chapter 7, verse number 18. "Who is a God like unto thee that pardoneth iniquity? Passeth by transgressions of the remnant of his heritage. He retaineth not his anger forever, because he delighted in mercy." Now, what was the job of the scribes? They're writing down the word, right? They record the word. That was their job. They knew these verses. They knew that forgiveness of sin was the greatest miracle that only God, who proclaimed in the Old Testament that God and God alone. What was Jesus trying to say? "I want you to know. I want you to know." And Mark. Is it easier to say, "Lift up thy bed and go," or is it forgive sin? What did he wanted them to know? He was God. This was all about. The miracles here was done so that they may know that he was and is God. Look over in John chapter 20. John chapter 20. Verse 30. John chapter 20, verse 30. John chapter 20 and verse number 30, the Bible says, "And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name." Is that okay? Just so you know that I am who I am. Take up your bed. Look over in Psalms, last verse, Psalm chapter 103. Psalms chapter 103. Verse number 3. Is it easier to take up your bed, heal the palsy, whatever? Get your bed up and go walk. And immediately the Bible said in Mark, he took his bed and walked. What does the Bible say in Psalms 103, verse 3? Who forgiveth all thine iniquities and does what? Who healeth all thy diseases. Scribes make no qualms about it. I am God. That's what he was saying. He is the great I am. Father, we love you. Thank you for this day. Thank you for the book of Mark. Lord, for the studies that we see in it, the things that you have recorded down for us to learn from. I pray, God, that we'd learn and hide Scripture in our heart that we might not sin against thee. That we realize that your word is a light under our path, a lamp under our path, a light under our feet, Lord. And we would realize as we walk through day by day that you go before us and you guide us and you direct us. And God, if we want a relationship with you, we must open up thy word and listen to you speak to us through the reading of thy word. In Jesus' name, amen.